Praise God. You know, the best plans of mice and men, they say. And I was thinking, the Lord changed my message this morning. Up here, I want to talk about something. Some things that, for a while, it's been on my heart to say some things and talk about some things. But sometimes you've got to wait till the Lord says to say them. Over the years, there's many things that the Lord has spoken to me, has showed me, even concerning visions and things concerning the end times. And there's many pictures that people have drawn over the years about end times. And as I've talked about before, if we would have followed today according to what, when I came in the kingdom, people talked about Jesus coming back and everything that was going to go on. Well, ain't none of it happened. It didn't happen. Well, I want you to, it isn't all about, you know, that we as Christians should have excitement about Jesus coming back. Amen. We should. But we need to if anything at all, as the Lord has been dealt with me the last few years, is about being led by the Spirit. Lord reminded me back some time ago about the fact that something that Kenneth E. Hagin had made mention of. He said, we can get beliefs in ourselves about things that really God didn't put there. We put there. And ways we believe things, and we put them in our spirit, and our spirit will speak them to us. And we'll say, God told us, but God didn't tell us. We put that in there. Understand, when we deal with faith, the subject of faith, there's a lot of misconceptions even among the spirit-filled people about faith. Many spirit-filled people have faith in things the Bible don't say. But spirit-filled teach it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. It comes two ways. It comes one way by the Scripture itself. Also, the Holy Spirit can speak things to you. In fact, I learned this as a young Christian. The Lord had said this to Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, I'm going to hold you as accountable by what I tell you is what's written in the book. So, we need to understand this. When He speaks to us, the majority of the time His speaking to us is through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us things that Jesus is saying. Now, you can have, you know, encounters where Jesus appeared to people, angels appeared and said things. But we need to understand this concerning the end times. There's a lot of things that have been put into the church that are man's plans and ideas. And we need to understand this about the end times. People get in vision about the move of God. I want you to think about, what would you say is one of the greatest moves of God there ever was? What would you think it is? See, people have ideas of what they think. Greatest move of God there ever was in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to the earth. And God walked among men. And I tell you what, it really made everybody happy. The greatest move of God, the nation the Messiah came to rejected Him. The greatest move of God didn't produce for the nation that He brought it to. So when you think about moves of God, get it out of your mind that it's going to be a big, great thing for everybody. I just want to tell you this. You're going to be shocked about America. You're going to be shocked about America. But preachers preach. We need to understand these things. Great moves of God, if you realize the rejection as a whole, think about, it's like I've talked about before, and the Lord spoke to me about this, is talking about these things. When I came into the kingdom, you know, there had already been, in 1950 as a kid, you had those healing revivals. Then you had the move of God came, and the teaching ministry started, and dealing with this move of the Spirit, and people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, the charismatic renewal, all that stuff. Look where we are today in American Christianity. Look where we're at. And I want to tell you, I'm just going to be blunt with you about it. There's many Christians ain't even going to get another call. God has talked and talked and He quit. He will not keep it up. We need to understand this. You just can't keep. It's just like God with Israel. Now, I just want to say this. You know, it's a thing that happened. Back when Obama was first president, he ran for president, he became president, A lot of Christians and even big name Christians didn't believe he'd become president, and he did. And he became president, and I was in Randall Greer's one of his meeting, and anyhow, he told the experience he had, that what he had is he was at a church, a minister that I know, I've known for numbers of years. He was at his church ministering, and they were praying. The election was coming up, and the minister said about they were going to pray and praying about the election. And it was just, you know, a few people were in the church. And I said, it wasn't during the service. A few people were in the church and they were praying. And Randy said he got up and he started praying. And he said he was walking back and forth. And he was walking back and forth. And he said, praying, just praying in other tongues, is praying about this, the election. And he said he had walked over through. He turned around and looked. And all of a sudden, he saw Jesus right in front of him sitting on a throne. And Jesus pointed out, now this was, you know, it's about this election. He pointed at Randy and said to him, he leaned forward and pointed and said, don't talk to me about the election anymore. He said, America's going to get what they want. And he said, they ain't going to like it. And he made this statement and he told him, he said, you tell them that they're going to have 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. That's what America's going to have. Now, let me read into you what the part of it is in Rome, because I want to say this to us. Because we're going to add more into these things here. In Rome, in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and in verse 11 says, this is Samuel talking to the people, telling them what the Lord showed him. He said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties and set them to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and he will be his, and you will be his servants. And he will cry, and you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now, let me explain something to you. When Obama came up to his second election, a lot of Christianity thought, they prayed and thought, oh, you know, we're going to turn this thing around. He ain't going to get elected again. In fact, I know big name prophet, and he said, well, you know, you're going to like the way this turns out, this election turns out. Well, it didn't turn out good. So I know he didn't hear from God. See, he got his idea because they prayed. Well, one of the things that we found out was this. We were together at Randy's meeting, and we had been praying about some things, and anyhow the Lord said to him about this. He asked the Lord, why on earth? Well, Lord, why did you, we prayed about this thing and, you know, it didn't go. And the Lord said, I gave you the answer at the first election. Well, the answer is right here. You're going to cry out because of this guy that these people elected, and it ain't going to change. It ain't going to change. And it didn't change. Well, kindly, God listened to the church next time around. But the church, again, in their great failures, they get something good and then they just go walk off back to the same way that they are. The next election, Eric Trump came in, but he didn't make it next round. And I spoke to the Lord about that. I asked the Lord the day after the election. I had the whole time. I just didn't believe Trump was going to make his president. I had it in me. All these people, yeah, Trump's going to get elected, and they're going through all their stuff. This is all people who put things in their own spirits, who did their own thing. They never asked God. Now, I would say this. I just kept having a sense that Trump was going to be elected. And often thought about it. I should have asked God about it. Why? At the time. But I didn't ask that until after the day after the election. I said, Lord, what is it with all these people saying all this stuff? What is it with all this? And he just told me bluntly the reason why. He said, the church is the reason why. They're the problem. You know, they got something. They go off into things. We need to understand this. There's required a change of us. We can't go back to our same things in our same ways. And this is what the Christians do. Go exactly back. They have no more. They want God. I want a good president. I want a good leader. I want this, but I'm going to live my life just like I did. I'll give you maybe an hour a week. I'll do that for you. I'm going to, you know, I'll go to church once in a while. I'll do this. I'll do, you know, I'm going to do these things. You know, I'm going to. And that's all. That's what they do. They just go right back to it. They go right back to those things. And they end up in the same mess. God in His kindness. Well, we came along and we got Biden. And we got exactly what we deserved. Nationally, we got exactly what we deserved. We have no complaint. We shouldn't have any complaint. We need to understand this. God didn't want Israel to have a king, and they wanted one. And they wanted a king. They got what they wanted. I want you to understand this. Never again was Israel in the perfect will of God after they got a king. David was not the perfect will of God. It was the best God did with what he could do. What they allowed him to do. Heck, they got mad at him and tried to overthrow him. We need to get into some thinking about some things here. So, we need to understand things are going on. God in His kindness right now, whether you realize it or whether how people realize it or understand Him, Trump being president is a prophetic thing. This is the last call, the end of the last call for America. This is the end of the last call for America. I want you to get this. See, back when all this, I don't know if you, how many of you remember back in 2000 and all the, before 2000 come up and the computer thing, and they're always worried about, well, if the computers don't, you know, take up the right date, everything's going under. Well, I'm going to tell you, the prophets were out. And 99.9% of them were wrong. Why? They put in themselves things that they believed, not what God was saying. And they prophesied out of their own spirits of the things they put into themselves. See, I've learned this over time, is be very careful about what you, and you say God said. Mm-hmm. Or God, you can get the, you want things. You got to watch the ministers you listen to, because, you know, they say things sometimes and they're giving you a picture that ain't coming. But if you buy it, you'll get it into your spirit and you'll believe that picture, but it'll never show up. Mm-hmm. So we need to be very careful about these things. See, there's one thing dealing with the end times. And I'm just going to say this. There's more division coming to America, and the divide is getting greater. Amen. And you know, I just want to know this. The Republicans are no smarter than the Democrats about this. You know, they have this idea because they had a great presidential election. That means the people in this nation are turning in the way they think. Heck, God can't get the Christians to turn the way they think. You know, they sit down, and we need to understand this. There's much of America is not going to change. It will not. Back in the early 1990s, minding my own business, just praying one day, and I had a vision about America. And I, in this vision, I did not ask for it or see it, but I'll tell you, I've watched it come to pass, and it's come to pass. And he showed me. I saw places in America. It was like I was looking at a map in America. It's like I was way up in the sky, and I'm looking at a map, and I see this dark blotch, and it spreads to different areas of the United States. In fact, a lot of the areas that today are great darkness. And I saw it go into them. And there are a lot of places today where we have all this trouble where, you know, that every perverted thing's okay and all this kind of stuff. And it went over there. And the Lord said this to me. He spoke in this. It said, America, he said, it's going to be divided. He said, great divide has come. It's going to be areas of great light and great darkness. And he said, people will move who want light will move from the areas of darkness, move to light. And people who love darkness will move from the areas of light and move into the areas of darkness. What's going on today, folks? That was in the 90s, the Lord told. See, there today, all this great move of God is going to make everything light. No, it's not. There are people who hate light.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
They hate light. We got to quit making up this end time stuff we got going on. We got to stop it. Because it's perverted. It will get you praying wrong, and God won't be able to do nothing. You'll pray in line with your belief instead of God's. You'll pray in line with what you want instead of what He can do. God can't do anything He wants. Most Christians think, we just pray, we're going to make it work. Yeah, like to see that happen one day. We can't just pray and make everything work. You can't override other people's wills and their desires. You can't do that. God can't do it. He won't. If He does it, He's a liar like the devil. People have a free will. You think if He couldn't stop Lucifer, He's going to stop the nuts running around here? Well, we sort of get this idea. We listen to preaching and people saying things that are off the wall. This is why, if anything today, we need to be led by the Spirit, and especially in our prayer lives. Stop and saying, God, what are you doing? Which direction are you moving in? What can do? I don't know what can be done lots of times and what can't. I don't know. I've learned this just over time of praying for people. I've had this on occasions. Over time, praying for an individual who has a problem, and they're going through things and going through stuff. Sometimes, like maybe over a year's period, off and on, I'd pray for an individual. And finally, one day, I'd wake up. And I'm talking about waking up spiritually. All of a sudden, I went to the Lord by one person. I said, Lord, I've been praying about this individual. And I said, I realize this. When I pray for them, You don't hook up with me at all. See, most people never even know. They don't even come in contact with their heart when they're praying to know if God's hooking up with them. They don't know. They just go on their religious prayer life. Now, I'm sure I'm the only one that's done that. And you know what? I had never asked the Lord about this individual. I was praying for him. See, this was Ed praying for him. Wasn't God, wasn't in it. I finally stopped and asked what the Lord's going on, and this is what He said to me. You're wasting your time praying for them. And I thought, dear God, I've been doing this on and off for a year. Wasted all that prayer that wasn't going to work. He said, that person knows what to do, but they won't do it. He said, I can't do nothing about that. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about people you're praying for, wasting your time? Mm-hmm. We don't think... Now, I'm not saying, we're not doing this to be critical. All of us need to pay attention. God's doing things, and God wants to do things that He will not be able to do if we don't make some changes.
Amen.
If we don't make some changes, He will not be able to do. Sometimes things, this is one of the things, the church basically ministers by need and not by being led by the Spirit. We see a need, therefore, let's go meet that need. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wanted to go preach at one place. He was going to go to one nation. He was going there. The Lord said, no, you don't go there. You go over here. You see, Paul was just like Ed Gibson. He saw a need in that place for the gospel, and he's going to go there. But that ain't the will of God. You know, many people do that. Missionaries go to places God never sent them. They see the need. You don't go by need. Where's God sending you? I will bet him any amount of money. Paul was praying about going there. Oh, yeah, he's thinking, you know, I'm praying, getting the door open for that, and I'm doing this. And God's saying, well, there was some wasted prayer. See, I'll tell you, Ed joined the Paul Club. I've done it.
Amen.
I've done it. I prayed for one guy for over a year, praying back and forth concerning this individual. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, quit praying for him. He's hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And I thought, oh my God. Why didn't I ask God about this to begin with instead of spending so much time praying about it? And I thought, well, I was on the hard-headed side. Now I know none of you have been there.
Mm-hmm.
See, we need to become spiritually sensitive. Well, we don't, this faith thing that we got, it requires us to being hooked up with God to this thing work. It isn't just us picking scriptures out. We got away with that stuff as baby Christians, but you will not in this day and time.
Amen.
We need to understand these things. Why? I want God to be able to move. I don't want to be a roadblock. Man, sometimes I feel like I have been.
Amen.
I'm convinced of this. We are not near as spiritual as we think we are.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean we don't know things, and we do, and thank God for what we know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can get over and start living off your knowledge and not really listen to the Spirit.
Amen.
You become, you know, your own self-Christian, you know. There's no Christianity without Christ. The Holy Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons. There's many Christians now live in sonship. Well, they're born again, they're a child of God. But if you want to live the sonship, you've got to be able to listen to the Spirit. If you want to live in the glory of the Son, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit. It's a requirement. And so, I want to encourage us. It's not criticism to us. I want you waking up here about the end of getting a picture of what's going on. If you do the will of God, I will guarantee it. It's just like just during a bomb administration. You know, God blessed Wanda and I a whole lot during the bomb administration. I'm going to tell you, it was a whole lot of people didn't get blessed. There's a lot of Christians that didn't get blessed. See, I learned just to walk in the Spirit. You know, don't get over in other people. But I learned just don't go run off with what every preacher's saying about different stuff and things. And you got to be very careful about those things. I learned to live on the inside. You know, there's one thing is I've learned this over time. I don't care what anybody says. I have to check in my own spirit. And if it don't settle with me until it does, I don't go in that direction. And I don't become voice to it because everybody else is saying it.
Amen.
I've learned. I was in Randy Greer's one meeting. And he had this one pastor, he had get up and share some things. And this pastor stood up in his meeting, and this was right before the election when Biden became president. And he got up and said, Donald Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. And he said, we need to confess that. And everybody blurted out and said it, and I kept my mouth shut. I just stood there. I kept my mouth shut because I thought, that ain't what's in my heart. I ain't gonna say that. My confession ain't going to change it if it ain't going to happen, if it ain't working. You can't confess presidents in. You're going to have to pray things out in the Spirit and find out if God's going to be able to move that way. You're going to find out. See, we use faith and just go out and make statements about things of faith. Just make, well, this is going to happen because I'm confessing it. You know, for my personal life, I can say a lot of things and bring it to pass. But when it comes over to other people and others are involved, it don't work that way. I have to know where my authority lies. Most Christians don't have a clue. They throw things out here. They throw things out there. They're saying things, doing things. And so we need to be careful about these things. Everybody else say anything. If anybody wanted, I sure wish Donald Trump would have became president again. I hated to see what Biden bought into our nation. But I'm going to tell you what, Biden administration proved out a lot about our nation. It proved the great divide. It proved it. It proved the strongholds of the devil in our nation. I want you to think about today in our nation. The biggest hell holes are who say they want help are the same ones that vote the people in who destroy them. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I don't feel bad for these places. People say, well, you ought to feel, I'm sorry. They need to suffer what they have done. Don't ask me to go feed them. Don't ask me to go. No, they need to. The reason these people don't change is because so many people, oh, well, they're hurting and their children are hurting. That's right. And they're responsible for their children. And if they don't suffer, there is no reason to change.
Amen.
God didn't save Sodom and Gomorrah. He delivered the righteous. He didn't take them lunch. We have this thing down here, and we need to know the time that we're in. You know, there's time to do things for people, and there's times to not. And if you don't know the Spirit, you're a mess. You're going to be a mess. You're going to be working against God a lot. You're going to be moved because most ministries are moved by need and not by God. And I'm talking about Spirit-filled people, you know. They go into an area and they'll take care of the evil before they take care of the righteous. They'll make sure the evil gets lunch. My number one thing is I take care of Christians. I don't take care of the evil. That's not my job. They ain't my family. We just run around just trying to take care of it. Live like hell, do all the things wrong, and we're trying to keep them sustained and stuff so they can live a good life. This is part of the darkness of America. Now, 1950, Kenneth E. Hagin had a vision, and in that vision, it was one of the major visions he had at that time, but the Lord talked to him about a number of things, but one thing is he made concerning this. 1950s, 1948, the healing revivals began. 1950, he has a vision, and the Lord says to him, America is having its last call. America is in its last call. It's not coming to its next great revival. It's in its last call. 1950. Gee, are we a couple years past it? You know, he said, all these people, probably he's teaching, the majority of them, they don't believe a thing he said. They don't believe he had this vision. I'll guarantee you did. Back when 2000 came along and that step was coming up, the Lord spoke to me and told me to go read that vision. And he'd have me read that thing over and over and over and over and over again, that vision, about things coming up and going. And then we came down through and eventually that we had, you know, the planes flew into the towers. Before we had that, the Lord had me go back again and read about those things going on in here. And the Lord started to show me things about as America. America's in its last call. What have we done? Just think about it. All this bit when we had, you know, the Twin Towers got hit and all these people, oh man, no, everybody wants to be spiritual. Yeah, for 2 years and then it's all over again. And we're right back to the demonic America we were. The only time we call on God is when things are not good and we want help out so we can go back to our life again.
Amen. Preach.
The cycle has run out. The cycle has run out. We're at the end of the last call. I just want to tell you that. I've known that for a long time. I don't care. They can preach anything they want and say anything they want. They can have pizza visions or whatever they want to have. I don't care. I've watched the things the Lord has said to me come to pass. I've watched the things the Lord revealed to Kenneth Hagin. I watch them come to pass. I've watched the other prophets saying all this stuff and it don't come to pass. I'm only interested in what comes to pass. I'm not interested in hearing a good story.
Amen.
Why? Because you can guide your life by what is true, not by a fairy tale. We like to hear wonderful stories. I do too. But I'm going to tell you what, I want to hear the truth.
Amen.
Why? Because if I know what's true, I can know what to do. Christians don't know what to do because we have too many fairy tale prophets. Fairy tale prophets. The things that were written concerning Israel were written for our learning, the Scripture tells us. It's so we would learn the things that happened to them. Their disobedience to God, what it cost them. Oh, we're in grace. Ain't going to cost us. I'm going to tell you what. It'll cost us greater because we have greater revelation.
Amen. Amen.
It'll bring, I will tell you this. American Christians will fall under greater judgment from God than the Israel had. Because of greater revelation and not walking in it. We need to understand. I expect more out of me than I do other people because of what I know. But I need to do that because if I don't do that, I will not walk and live right.
Amen. Preach.
See, these are things. We're not hearing these messages. This is the way things are. This isn't talking negative. This is the way the system runs.
Amen.
Who's given much? Much is required.
Amen.
Duh! Well, watch people do that to their children, but then they, when it comes to God, they think it can go away with anything. It only works. You know, I make my kids listen yet. When are you going to listen?
Come on.
Our kids, they just don't pay attention to anything, just like their parents. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just telling you what. I have zero fear about the future. I ain't afraid. Hallelujah. I tell you what. I'm in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm in Him. He's in me. And He's in God. So that puts me in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm buried deep.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear in this time. These things here don't scare me. What bothers me is the lies told that are said are truth. And leading people to believe to things that are not going to take place. I'm just going to tell you, we've been praying for moves of God and they have not come. Why? Is it going to take 200 years to pray in a move of God here at the end? Well, they've been praying for Jesus to come back now. When I came in the kingdom in 1980, man, I'm going to tell you, I think somebody did right. People don't know what the time are and what they're praying for at the time, what's needed at the time. I can see what is needed at the end, but I know right now what's needed. Why? So I can make it to that end. You see, we just have all the, people have all the vision at the end. And they don't know what, and people have become discouraged listening to these stories about the end times. When seeing things are not turning out like they said. And people have become discouraged because of the preaching and teaching. They're discouraged. See, I didn't get discouraged because I realized a long time ago that they didn't know anything about the end. They knew stories. They went and circled around scriptures and stuff to fulfill their story. Not the plan of God. And so we need to understand these things because why? It's about your peace and your rest. Many Christians are walking around today. They're not sure if they're in or out or up or down. They don't know because so much has been said and gone by. And all this says, moves of God always coming and they never come. All this kind of, because people are talking these stories. And I just put a broad to it. I said, I don't care what they say. I got to listen to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We don't need another story. We need truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the truth is, you can stand through anything. If you can stand the Word, you hook up with God, the Word and the Holy Spirit, you can stand through anything. You can go through whatever you need to go through. You know, I'm going to see Jesus one way or the other. If he returns right away, you know. You say, well, he's going to come back. People say, you know, there's always somebody come. They had some last September he was supposed to come back. And he was supposed to come back last September, you know, and he picked it again. You know, do it. I'm sure in one year he's going to come, and maybe it'll be a September. I don't know. I don't know if he's out there or Caesar, but I don't know. God ain't told me. And he ain't told 90% of the people that said they were told weren't told. I know loads of people, and they got them on stages to testify that they saw Jesus and he told them that they were going to go in the rapture, and they're dead today. People bought it. You know? I like what Randall Greer did. Randall Greer had a lady tell him, and she was in her 90s, and she had a vision, and she saw the rapture and, you know, leaving and that stuff. So she assumed she was going to go in a rapture. But I like what Randy Greer said. You know, he told me, he said, well, he said, I don't know if that's true or not, or she'll be here or not. He said, I don't know. He said, she saw the vision. She might have had the vision or saw it, you know. I had a vision of Jesus Christ returning to Lebanon. I had a vision of Jesus, the day Jesus Christ returns. He comes. I saw the streets of Lebanon standing with people with their hands raised, waiting for the return of Christ. See, I'm just going to tell you this. The church is going to know he's come back. We ain't going to be doing this stupid guessing stuff they're doing now. We're going to know the times and the seasons. But that doesn't mean that Ed's going to be here just because I saw it. He didn't say to me, yeah, Ed, you're going that day. You're going to be here. He didn't say that. I ain't adding to it. It's like Kenneth Hagin. I learned from him. He said, God gives you a word, you make a sentence. And we've had a lot of that. That's the way we think about it. Hallelujah. Well, and anyhow, you know, God's dealing with people. America's in a situation, and we need to understand this. We're in a time of there's light and darkness. One of the things, I got really interested some years ago about the fact of the move of God because of people praying. And I knew there was some glitches that I didn't know about. There's things that I didn't understand. And especially areas and moves of God and things. And I got over sort of questioning the Lord one day. And I have a lot of teaching, Brother Hagin teaching. And there's some of his stuff that I haven't got around to listening to yet. Stuff he did many, many years ago and stuff teaching. But I was listening to him the teaching about things after coming out of the healing revivals, some of his older things. After the healing revivals, he talked about that he would go into areas to minister. Going into those areas to minister, he said, I would have, you know, good success of ministering at different places. Now, this is during the beginning of starting in toward the teaching ministry started in the charismatic renewal. And he said, I'd go to places, and he said, I started going to the Lord and said, what's going on? I go here. What am I doing wrong that I can't? He said, I go to these places and I'm just really not effective at all. I go there. What's wrong? So you can think, this is what people do. Well, if I just pray and I do all these things, I'll just always be effective. No, you won't. If Paul would have went to where God didn't tell him to, I guarantee you he wouldn't have been effective. So the Lord said this to him. And he learned to seek God about where he went to minister. The Lord said, you're not going to see a revival in that location where you're at till the people who are in that area who were in a move of God years ago and they haven't walked in the light of it, till they die off, there's not going to be another move there. Now, you need to understand that principle is in the Bible. The children of Israel couldn't go into the land of promise till a generation, disobedient generation, died off. They couldn't go in. We're in that today. There's major ministers that are going to die before the move of God gets kicked in. Why? Too many people follow them instead of listening to the Spirit. They're listening to these individuals. And until that changes, there's people going to have to go. Do you know the children of Israel? Now, if you read the thing back here that I bought from Randy Greer, but Randy gets some major teaching, and the Lord spoke to him about it, which I was really glad at the last two meetings I attended in August and October. He talked about these in extent. And But see, the children of Israel couldn't go into the land until Moses died and until Aaron died. When Moses and Aaron both sinned, God said, you ain't going into the land. Everybody else couldn't go into the land. I'm just going to tell you what. There are people in the body of Christ, leaders, who are holding us, the body of Christ, out from entering the land. Leaders. You see, Moses and Aaron heard from God what to do. God appeared to Moses and Aaron and told them about the children of Israel, about the water and the rock. And he told him, go down and speak to the rock. And Moses didn't. He went back and chewed the people out and then got himself good at an uproar and hit the rock. He disobeyed God. He didn't disobey God because he missed it in his spirit. God appeared to him and told him what to do. God held him at a position. We have people today, God's holding them at a position that they stand in, and they are not doing what God said. They got their thing. They're stuck in their thing. We need to understand. See, we can hold things up. I watch leaders of families hold their family back. It's the way it works. People can't enter in because of leaders. It's the way the system works. Read the Bible sometime. Study the Bible. Quit listening to people's ideas that, oh, I just pray and make things change and make everything. No, it don't work like that. You see, we need to get down to some serious thinking about these. I'm just one of these guys. If we keep heading a direction and nothing ever changes, Ed stops the direction and starts talking to God. Where on earth? What's wrong? I don't believe it. You just, 20 years later saying the same thing and nothing ever changes. Mm-hmm. And that's what these ministers are doing. Nothing changes. Hold it. Where are we missing it? Why doesn't the move of God come? Why isn't this stuff happening? Why isn't? What is it? Where do I fit in this thing? See, going on and talking and saying this stuff, we might call it faith, but there ain't no faith in it. We can talk. That don't make it so. We got to find out what's going on. Well, looking at some of these things, it's coming up. See, it's one of the things that I saw this last election come up, and I knew this about this next one. I knew the Republicans weren't going to be happy. I've known it. Well, number one, the poll gods didn't work. And you know what they do? They're doing exactly what the church is. Well, see, now people, since Trump's in, all these people are seeing how bad it was with the other. They'll come and vote for us. Did it work? Did it work? No. Didn't work. Why? Because they don't see spiritually what's going on. There's things that people ain't changing. See, people want something better, but they don't want to take responsibility to get things better. Just keep promising to give me something, I'll vote for you. Most Republicans vote for Republicans because they think they're going to get what they want. And some of the things the Republicans get them, you don't need. You see, we get over in these things and we see this stuff going on. Didn't surprise me at all. The way the next presidential election go won't surprise me at all. God in His grace has done something for this nation, and even the church don't recognize what it is. We thought it's going to a utopia. It's the grace of God in the last call. Now, I want to read something to you. Randy Griff sent this out. Now, this is just sent to people concerning his last meeting. And I don't know if everybody gets it or not. I'm in his ministerial thing. But I'm going to read it to you. Something he said. Because he said this concerning this. Now, he didn't tell us this there. We had prayed about some things, but we never really We didn't get over it, and I can see why he didn't pray about the elections. You know, I watched things going on, and I wasn't led to pray much about these elections coming up. But led to it. Well, if people were led to it, would God lead you to it, and it ain't going to work? See, we've got to think about these things. We don't. He says this. He goes, the recent elections in New York, he said New Jersey and Virginia, revealed to us the spiritual condition of most of the people who live in those areas. He said, but not all. He said, people wanted me to pray about the elections before they took place. The Lord would not allow me to pray about them. He told me the outcome had already been determined by the ungodly will of the people and how the election would turn out before the votes were counted. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the end from the beginning. That does not mean that we do not pray for people, but it does mean that we are to be led by His Spirit in every area of our lives. He said, you will recall how Jesus Christ told Dad Hagen on September 2nd, 1950, that some nations had already received their last call and never would receive another. Jesus meant what he said. You can pray until you wear your voice out, but those nations will never receive another call. I interpret that to mean there will be another major move of God. There will not be another major move of God in those nations. And he would never send a group of missionaries to tell them and to warn them. See, if they've had their last call. See, we don't have a Christianity like that where God stops and says, let them go. God said the same, don't talk to them about it anymore. Let them have what they want. And God said, when things go bad, don't call me about the king thing. You got it for the rest of your lives. That generation shot it in the foot to all the generations that came. Well, this is good preaching. Antioch this was, he said, people may go as missionaries, but it will not be the Lord sending them. They will be going because they want to, not because the Lord sent them. He said, it'll be a waste of time and their time and their money to do so. Why? Jesus Christ said so. We are led by the Spirit. And we are. That's how he does it. That's why I said, most of the church world is led by need. Well, they need. This person needs that. It's just me and that. All these people are all concerned, what's going to happen in New York? I know what's going to happen in New York. And you know what? I ain't going to run and try to fix it. I ain't giving people money to try to fix it. They need to suffer what they have done. We don't like to hear this thing. We're always the fix-it people. And then pray, God, come and fix my messes. I don't listen to you. I do what I want to do, and it don't work, but come and fix it for me, dear Lord Jesus. See, we've got to stop this stuff. See, we really don't understand love. See, I watch people ruin their kids. Mm-hmm. Fixing stuff for them. I always try and take it. Watch them ruin them. Just ruin their children. This is why today we have this generation out here that don't know how to take care of themselves. You know, they'll be 50 years old living with mom and dad. They don't know how to, what? They've been trained by their parents to be like that. People fixing everything for them. Hallelujah. My God, my kids grew up and they take care of themselves and do fine at it. They're good at it, taking care of themselves. But you know what? We taught them to take care of themselves when they were still living at home. My job was not to supply all their need according to my riches and glory. I ain't God, and I ain't God to my kids. Hallelujah. But they got to know God. They learned how to take care of themselves, and they're good at it. Hallelujah. And you know what? They're a blessing to me and my wife. Most people, they're only a one-way blessing, all to their kids, all the time. Their kids are never a blessing back to them. They'll live out there. I know people live out their whole life, and their kids are married and have children, and they're still taken care of.
Come on.
Well, I don't want the grandkids to suffer. No, so you cause the whole family to suffer now, you idiot. See, we got to, you know, I'll tell you what, there's nations in Europe that are not going to ever have another move of God. That doesn't mean nobody could ever get saved there, but they will never have great revivals. It'll never take place. It ain't going to ever happen. There's places that you think are so bad, God's going to move in because they've been heathen. They don't know. God will come and visit. But there's nations that have revival. America's not going to, is not going to have, the call in America. We're at the end of this thing, folks. God has been blessed. We need to understand that the Christian needs to become thankful toward God of this presidency we have and this awakening. It is part of our awakening. We need to understand this. We want to move a move of God, and we want it here in this nation. There's places God's not going to visit. There's cities God won't visit anymore. He's not going to visit in revival. There's places where it is done. There are places where it's gone. We have major cities in America. There's not going to be moves of God come back again. I mean, people up there are saying, you know, I'm really Trump. He wants to help people out, sending guard into place, stopping crime. Yet those same moron people vote in mayors that get mad because they want to stop crime. What are we doing sending people into those places? Trying to stop what those ignoramuses want. Let them live with their crime. They voted for it. They want it. No, it's our job. It's job for the good people to go fix all this stuff for the bad people. Trump's trying to save all the idiots. And you know what they do? They turn around and vote against him and vote for more people in all the idiots. The devil's people act like the devil, live like the devil, and do what the devil do. And you know what? The people there that don't like it need to pack their bags and leave. It isn't for us to go and try our best to take care of them there. No, you got to do something.
Amen.
You need to rise up. People said, well, these people are poor. They can't afford to leave. What do you mean? You can get welfare anywhere. Welfare people move around all the time. I know. People up in the New England states and New York, they run out of their stuff there, then they move down here, and they come down here and get it for a while till things run out. Then they move back up there and get back in it again. And they just jump from place to place. Don't tell me you can't afford to move. You can get assistance from 10 million churches any place you go. That's good preaching, folks.
Amen. Great preaching.
We need to understand what we're living in. And we need to stop and say, God, where's my place of help? What do I do? See, it's number one. Our number one thing isn't to feed people. It's to tell them the truth.
Amen.
It's to preach the gospel. If they don't want the gospel, they're on their own. Mm-hmm. Then they live to what they want. We don't do that. They don't want the gospel. We'll take care of you. And if we take care of you enough, you'll want the gospel. If you realize the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that Christians have pumped into New York City, and they still keep voting for the idiots. And the Christians feed and feed and go out on the street, and they go out, oh, we're going to help the homeless. We're doing all of this stuff. They're running around billions and billions and billions. And what's it produced? They want a communist. They want a godless man. And this is what they want. Oh, let's go. They're going to need help. They sure is. They're going to need help. Because I tell you, hell owns them now. held on to. And we need it. It is not, I feel bad it's going to happen to him, but I will tell you what. I ain't going to change it. God ain't going to change it. You're in trouble when God tells people not to pray for you. And I've had the Lord tell me that. Don't pray for people. And you know what? Every one of them in that state thinks they're all right. You know? They even go on and play religious games like they're religious. Don't know. They are so far out of fellowship with God. They don't know it. God's not talking to them. God's telling people don't pray for them. God's, and they're running around playing Christian games and doing all this kind of stuff. See, I think it's, I don't want God telling some, you know what? That Ed's so stupid. Don't pray for him. He's so out in left field. Don't pray for him. I've had it with him. He won't listen. See, when Christians don't stop and ask questions, where am I really with God? Where am I? See, if you're not led by the Spirit, you don't know if you're with God or not. So you can follow religious things. You can follow things in the Word that says doing it. But you know what? I know that I belong to Christ because of the witness in me. I don't know I'm saved just because the Bible says so. I'm saved because I have the witness in me. See, most people, well, if you ask them how they're saved, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. I'm sorry. I already went past all of that.
Amen.
I know I passed from death unto life. Mm-hmm. I know. I have the witness in me. I'm persuaded, you know, that He's able to keep what I've committed unto Him.
Amen.
You can only know that if you're on the inside. If you're looking on the inside. You don't know that any other way. It ain't just because some Bible says so. That's where I started. But faith in those words made me into something. And the Holy Spirit in me bears witness with me that I'm a child of God. That's how you know. Because I tell you, the devil and people try to talk you out of stuff. You better have the witness. I know by what's in me. And you need to know by what's in you. And I'm saying these things here today. You know, I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe concerning the move of God. God is stepping in among people out here today because, and especially a lot of the younger generation, that God will ring His bell to them because of. There's a lot of the older Christian generation. God's going to bypass. They're going to be bypassed. They're stuck where they're at. They're stuck in the ditch where they're at. What they've been believing and looking for ain't turned out right in the last 40 years. And they're still stuck in that ditch. Not stopping saying, hey, Lord, what's going on? Why? See, I don't know why I am, but I'm a questioner. And it seems funny because I was raised in a religion as a kid and my parents, you never question God. You know, you don't ever question nothing. You don't ever question God. And so if you did that, you know, you were definitely, you know, unclean. You know, wear garlic when you're around Him. You know, do something. Get a crucifix and some holy water. You might have to throw it on Him and hit Him with the crucifix. Because you don't question God. I have questions. I want to know why things don't work. I want to know why people say things and prophesy things and they never happen. And why people just keep following. Why? What's going on here? I'll tell you why people follow it. Because they're not led by the Spirit. That's why I always used to appreciate Brother Hagin said, you know, you check out for yourself. You read the Scripture. See, you seek God.
Amen. Right.
He never sought God for me. I always had to do that. It was my job. I seek God to find out. You know what? I don't take prophecy just because somebody said it sounds good. I got to know in my own heart that that's right. There's things that I've been around even Brother Hagin. It wasn't for long periods of time that I prayed over certain things. I got a witness that certain things were, that was correct. I didn't buy it just because he said it. I don't give a rip what he says. That doesn't mean I have to know in my spirit that it's right. If I receive it and it's not, now I'm deceived. And he didn't deceive me. I did. Because I didn't listen to the Spirit. Let me just say this. See, New York. That new mayor, he's not going to be one judge. The people are going to be judged that voted him in. Their lives are going to, God's going to hold them accountable, not him accountable for what he does. Them, they have choice. God's not going to hold these so-called prophets and stuff that have said all this stuff. He's going to hold the people accountable for not seeking God for themselves. He's going to hold them accountable who follow after stuff that he didn't say to do. They're not going to get away with it. Oh, the old bad preacher. You got the same spirit he does. You got to check it out. He holds us accountable. See, we need to get into this. This stuff is not, people come out, you know, well, we got a, Biden was a bad president. Oh, and he said, and they ran down Biden. I'm going to tell you, the American people did it. I mean, they said, run down Biden. My God, why don't we run down the, both parties? My God. No, I got my favorite party and this party. If we just had the Republican Party all the time, it'd really be good. Oh, dear God. They're a bunch of liars just like, you know, they're sitting around there. You know, we got to get rid of Obamacare. Well, on the first time Trump was president, they could have gotten rid of Obamacare. They had the Senate and the House. Before Obama left office, the Republicans voted 18 times to get rid of Obamacare. And when Trump got in, they wouldn't vote it down. The Republicans. Don't you think they're on your side? Most of them are heathens. I know who their daddy is. He used to be mine. I know how I was. I was self-centered, self-serving. Ask my wife. And so are they. That is the nature of a sinner. That's the nature of sinners. I don't identify Republican Party with Christianity. We need to come out of this thing. Oh, they have good things in their beliefs, but I wish they would do them sometimes. Might be a nice thing to happen. I mean, just think of this. All this time that those guys have had the opportunity to come up with a plan to replace Obamacare, and they have not come up with one. Haven't even tried. They wait for Trump to come in. And Trump, in 10 minutes, says, well, why don't we take the money we begin to give? And let's give the people. A two-second answer that he figured out, probably got up in the morning and thought about it. And there's all those Republicans down there, and there ain't a half a brain among them all. They have no interest in doing it. Why? Our system as it is works for us. God gave, you know what? Trump ain't doing what he did because he's so great. God's given this man wisdom to see things. And you know what? People ain't recognizing this is God. They're stoning Trump. Even if they're on his side sometimes, they ain't on his, it just, I don't care. He ain't perfect as a man, but I'll tell you what, I recognize one thing. There's God involved in this thing. What I want to do is find out what God's doing and not what the Republican Party's doing. Or this group's doing, or that group's doing. I want to know what God's doing. He's given out wisdom, but I'm going to tell you what. If America don't step into this wisdom, God help America. God help America. See, let's understand and see this. God's doing something. This isn't Trump. I ain't going to worship Trump. This is the hand of God. Saying, America, I'm giving you your last shot. What are you going to do with it? He's saying to the church, giving you the last shot. What are you going to do with it? Hallelujah. So let's stop. Number one, we should be thanking God every day.
Amen.
Lord God, thank you for sparing us. This man and all the humiliation and all that he has gone through and they've done to him. If anybody can't figure this out, this is supernatural. Nobody goes through this kind of stuff. But look what he's going through. To step up in this place. He's taken a braver spot than 99.9% of Spirit-filled ministers. And he's standing there, and he's taking the shots. And he just, they do everything in the world. And he just walks on and comes up with his next idea, and I'm going to head in this direction. It's like, if you don't see this as supernatural, you need another dip. And we need to thank God every day. God, I just want to thank you that you didn't give me what I deserved. That you didn't give my nation every evil thing that we've deserved. That you didn't allow fall on the church every evil thing that we've done and disobeying you and doing. And you've come and you have blessed us in spite of. See, his mercy does endure forever. And Donald Trump is proof of that. It's proof of what God's doing. And let's just get over it. I'll tell you what. I ain't worried. I ain't afraid. Hallelujah. I know there's things going to collapse and there's things going to go wrong. There's things going to happen. But I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. There's going to be good.
Amen.
Because there's a good God. And I'll tell you what. If we walk in the light of the Word of God, God will have to bless us or He's a liar. And He ain't ever become a liar. But I'm just going to tell you this. He don't bless everybody. And He's not called us to try to bless everybody. He's not done that. I'm not wishing bad on anybody. I don't have to. People do a good job of it themselves. I don't have to add to it. You know, guys, the dog jumps on the guy's bed and the gun goes off and he shoots himself in the back. You know, he said he was cleaning his gun. You're cleaning a loaded shotgun? What is wrong with you? Say, my God. Say, the dog was a smart guy in the crowd. The idiot was on the bed. What are you doing laying on a bed cleaning a gun? Okay. I wonder how you clean a loaded shotgun. How you do that? How do you clean that barrel? I'm just wondering how you do that. I didn't know. I just think they ought to take the guy to the Humane Society. The dog's a lot brighter. See, will you live with stupid like this in our world today? I mean, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Please, I beg you this morning. This is not to be critical this morning. Let's just judge things fairly and rightly. God, I believe, wants to do some absolutely wonderful and marvelous things. But we need to get over, we can find out how we can cooperate with Him so He can carry these out. That we're not wasting our money and our energy into things that He's not doing. I've known this for years and said for years. The church in America spends hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars is given away to worthless. It's given away. You know, people get moved by every little thing. You know, send me a picture of something that looks bad. I send money. Look at all the people that gave money to the fire out in California. You know how much of that's going to people? Zero. It went to organizations that are going to help. One house has been built. How many Christians? Those people need help. Why don't you just burn your money at home? You know, just get an old hubcap, put it outside there, dump your money in it, and light it. Light it and burn. Maybe you could heat some marshmallows on it or do something. It's like, we're helping people. No, you're not. I give no money to any organization or any group that I don't know exactly what they do and where their money goes. I don't care. They can send me things. 5 million pictures of kids starving to death. They don't get money because they send me pictures. I want to know what to do with the money. I want to know. I want to know who's behind it, what it is. You can't move me by that. You know? You go into stores and they'll say they're doing a certain thing and you want to give your change, give it to something. I don't know what they give it to. You know, it's like you get these companies at Walmart. Walmart will turn around and give money to us. They give money. They'll say, we gave so much money. And they didn't give it. The people gave it, giving it in. Walmart just passed it on and said, we gave. Wait, where's this we, boy? Ain't no we in this thing. You ain't in my camp. I'd be the giver. You'd be the guy patting yourself on the back and did nothing. How do you know what people are passing on to? I don't know their companies. I don't know their stuff. And nobody checked. We're doing good. Oh, we're just such good, nice people. I'm sorry. You're going to have to show Ed where it's going. I'm a giver. And I'll give if I know what it's going to and I know it's getting where it's going to go. I'm a giver. If I don't know, my wallet's so tight you couldn't pry it open with a crowbar. We need to know that. Now, there's times I've given to things I didn't know about because the Spirit of God told me to go give some money to a certain thing and do it. Other than that, if he don't say it, mm-mm. Ed uses the wisdom he got, and it's no. Till I know, I'll do that. You see, I learned that as a young Christian when they were doing all this over in Africa, feeding people and all this starvation and stuff, and found out billions of dollars were going and it wasn't going to fit. Billions of dollars was being shipped. And American churches are dumping tons of money in this stuff. And it wasn't going. They're sending it. It was sitting on docks. The governments that they were sent to, the governments were taking it. And they weren't shipping it out to the people. They were even selling the stuff for money. They were doing that. We're sending all this stuff. Well, everybody that gave is just as guilty as they are for stealing. Because they didn't check to find out. I checked to find out. What's going on here with this? I want to know. See, I'm this curious question guy that people don't like. No, you're supposed to be silent and just follow the crowd. This is, sorry, I ain't following the crowd. I want to know. Why? I want my money given to mean something. I want it to do something. I want it to bless somebody. I want it to help. That's not throwing things out there. The church has been just like the Pharisee walking around, you know, out there and giving his alms so everybody can see. That's the church in America. Oh, we're giving, we're doing all this and we're doing all that. Well, do we know exactly who it's going to? See, I know one minister raised $25 million. And what he raised $25 million for, 25,000 went to the thing he raised it for. 25,000. Big name minister. Some of you might know him today, but I knew him back yonder. And he did. Raised $25 million and only $25,000 actually went to the thing that he raised it for. See, this is why we do a lot of things. We say, doing good, and it ain't been good. It ain't been good. Somebody's raising money, I want to know. You know? See, there's a lot of things local. I always find out, especially people, like, in a country, ministers or ministries, people I know. If I want to get something done there, the people I know, I send it to. I don't send it through an organization to turn around and give them something. They take their cut, pass it on down the line, and pass it on down the line and say, oh, no, let's go directly to who needs it. Let's just go directly to them. Find out what needs to be done. Find out who. You know, as a minister, I can have a lot of people that I can know. You can kind of have good contacts and stuff in places. You can find out exactly what you can get done and get something there that actually helps. But you know what? We're lazy. It's just as easy. You know, let's watch TV or they'll put it online or Facebook will tell you. And then we'll just go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. Let's make it. Listen to the Spirit. Don't be quick to jump into things. Don't be quick. When anybody tells you you got to do it now, that guarantees me this. Over time, I've learned this. I automatically stop and don't do. It has to be now. Has to be. When it has to be now, I know that's not a good thing. What does the Bible say about making haste? What about the guy that makes haste? I guess you didn't read that scripture, did you? You ain't supposed to be doing it. We're not supposed to make haste. If you ain't allowed to sit down and think about something, check it out. I don't care what a preacher says. I don't care how nice he is, and he preached 10 good sermons to me. If he tells me to do something unscriptural, we ain't doing it. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, I believe, Lord God, wisdom is not guaranteed to somebody because they stand in a position. Lord God, the least in the kingdom, the great wisdom of the Spirit of God lives in them. Hallelujah. And gives wisdom. Lord God, wisdom is for the least to the greatest. Hallelujah. Oh, the least can be full of wisdom. And I thank you, Father. Father, I believe there is much great wisdom among the least. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to your children, to each one in this time and this day that we're in. Lord God, I want to thank you. You're in the business of building people up. You said in your scripture, asking it shall be given you, seeking you'll find. If we'll search after you, and we're guaranteed you're going to reveal yourself to us. That's what you do. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Father. Father, we're in position. Lord, if we mean our own lives, if we mean to make changes, Lord God, reveal to us these things. Lord, we may be doing some things that maybe aren't in your will or plan, but we want to know about it. Hallelujah. We're not trying to be rebellious. Lord, maybe in many ways we might be just ignorant of things. There's things that we don't know, things we don't see. But Lord God, we desire wisdom and understanding to know. Lord, we do want to be a blessing in this day and time. And Lord God, I know within my heart there's some great things that you want to accomplish and do. There's some mighty stuff that you will bring to pass. But Lord God, we want to cooperate with you. We don't want to be dragging our feet. We don't want to be going along and holding back, Lord God. Hallelujah. We want to allow you to move in your glory. Hallelujah. To bring the glory of the gospel, that Jesus Christ himself is magnified. Jesus Christ himself is glorified. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, Lord, I just ask you, and even for myself, you know, forgive me, Lord, if I'm missing it in any ways. And I ask you, Lord God, to forgive me. Father, we don't want to follow after things, Lord. Lord, every one of us in the past, we have thought some things and about things, but Lord God, it wasn't within your plan or the scope of what you wanted to do. And I just want to thank you for your forgiveness and mercy, Lord God, on us. Hallelujah. But I thank you for raising us up in wisdom to be able to see and to understand. Hallelujah. Lord, not just to jump on everything quickly. Hallelujah. Lord, because if anything I learned about you, you're patient. And if you're patient, then therefore I must need to take on that same virtue. To be patient. Hallelujah. Lord, not to just jump into things. Lord, you know, the scripture tells us to wait upon the Lord. We'll renew our strength. Lord God, that waiting is taking time. Hallelujah. Taking time. Taking time till we know. And Lord, surely I've missed that area at times, for sure. But I want to thank you, Lord God, for enlightening us and bringing these things back to us again. To see, to understand and comprehend. Hallelujah. Father, I expect that we're going to walk under a greater anointing that we absolutely have never expected that it would be such a great anointing. It's going to come in these last days. Lord God, there's a church that you're preparing. You sent Kenneth E. Hagin and you said his ministry was to get the church ready for the return of Christ. Lord God, we're going to be ready. We're readying ourselves, and Lord God, to carry out the vision for others to ready. Hallelujah. Lord, Brother Hagin, he went on before, but Lord, his ministry hasn't stopped. Lord, whatever position we're in, Lord, I am just going to keep walking in the place to ready people. That they're walking in the will. When they go home to be with the Lord, hallelujah, It's well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That's what I want them all to have. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have any stuff burning up. Hallelujah. You have blessing coming. Glory to God. That's what I want for people. Hallelujah. And I want for the church. Lord, we want to reach the world. But Lord God, I want my brothers and sisters to be blessed. I want my brothers and sisters, Lord God, to know You in Your fullness of Your glory and to experience the wonders of Your great grace. Hallelujah. And Lord, when they step over onto the other side, it's not some big dramatic change. It's just stepping from one glory to another. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what I want for them. And I thank You, Lord God, You're readying a people. As Lord, as You showed me the vision many years ago of this city here, Lebanon, that people will be ready and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Lord, that's the way I believe it's going to be. Your people are ready and waiting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Their hands were raised in the air and their heads were heavenward. Hallelujah. For the Master's coming back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the church age that we're in. Hallelujah. That's the church group that we're walking in. Glory to God. And I want to say thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.